Hello and welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm co-founder and CEO at procurementexpress.com. We're the software that takes the hassle out of managing your company's purchasing with magical features. And today I've got Mr. Magic himself from our sales team, head of sales, Benny Iguion, on the podcast. Benny has been with us for almost coming up on his first anniversary now on the team. He's the highest performing salesperson we've ever had on the team. But that's not really why I've asked him onto the podcast today, because we have a value here, one of our five values, which is play to win. And anytime I explain what play to win means to us at Procurement Express, with, let's say, someone who's thinking about coming on board with the team or someone who's interested in the company, I always talk about Benny. And what makes Benny a great example of this is that he gets paid to do something very few of us get paid to do, hardly any of us, which is drumroll sport. He's a professional soccer player for a team here in on the island of Ireland. And we're going to talk today about how what you can learn from competing at a high level in sport and how you can apply that to your business. So, Benny, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to actually doing one of these podcasts with you because I've been listening out to the last couple of ones you've been doing. I like the one you did with Richard last time. That was really cool. Just the origin story. That was really cool. So thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And thanks for that. It was great to have Rich on. If you're interested in the backstory of Procurement Express, have a look for Richard on our podcast. And Richard's my business partner. We go over how the whole thing got started. And we are almost 10 years later. It's insane. So, Benny, let's hear a little bit about you, where you come from, what brought you to Procurement Express. You know, tell us a bit about your history.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. My background, I'm from Leeds, originally from Leeds. I studied at Leeds Beckett University. So my educational background is in broadcast media and digital technology. I had little spells at Heart Radio. Did a bit of presenting as well. So that's sort of where I learned to speak a bit more publicly. I've always wanted to speak publicly. I think when I was in high school, they had the opportunity to like select a few guys to do a speech for one of the MPs, Ed Balls. And I put my hand up and I was like, I'm going to do it. And I was selected for that. So that's sort of where I started. In terms of my work background, I've worked in fintech. I've worked for PayPal. I've worked for Clearco. Worked a little bit. I think I've got about 8+ years background in sales now. And also on the side, I play football professionally for about 9 years. And the last 2-3 years I've been on and off professional, semi-professional. So like last season, I was, well, up until 2 months ago, I was playing professionally. But this season, it's classed as semi-pro. So back down semi-pro. So I need to get a couple more goals and move back up. But it's great. I'm having a great time. It's good.
Very good. And can you tell us a bit about what team you play for?
Yeah, right now I'm playing for a team called Ballymacash Rangers. They're in the third division in Northern Ireland. It's semi-professional, but it's a good team. We've had our first game of the season already, and we won 3-1. I scored 2 goals in that game, and I got man of the match and player of the week for the league as well. So not trying to brag, but it was pretty impressive because I'm looking forward to getting something like that for a while. So yeah,
actually, you've reminded me now something really amazing about you, which is, and I also tell people, is that Benny, I don't play computer games, but FIFA 2022, is it that if you go and play that computer game, you can actually play as Benny in that video game? So if you have a PlayStation at home, get to check it out and look for Benny and you'll be able to play as him. So that's pretty cool. The kids will know more about that than I would, but
yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Not many people can claim to be in a video game. Awesome. So listen, we're going to have and also it's good to know you have the media background. You can take over for me when I retire here in about 15 years time. So let's see, you can teach me about a thing or two about this, but let's talk about, because, you know, it came up, we were having an all hands meeting, you know, I can't remember what it was, a couple of weeks ago, but you said something that really stuck out to me as your experience from, you know, playing professionally on the pitch. And I'm going to get to that just a little bit towards the end of the podcast, but it was very, very insightful. And it was the reason we're having a chat today. And it really got me thinking, well, what other lessons can we learn in business from, you know, from professional sports And as someone who does it, I think you're the perfect person to talk to about this. So I've got here a couple of topics. They're normally fairly dry topics that we all have to deal with. And you've got some interesting stories about how they come alive on the pitch. So let's kick off with the much maligned process improvement. You always hear about process improvement. We must improve our process, fix the problems. How does that translate onto the sports pitch?
Yeah, well, that's a really great point, to be honest with you. And I don't know if I'm the expert, but based on some of the findings of the environment I've been in, I think in sport, it's a constant every single day. It's that 1% better, you know, and it's practice repeating the things you do day to day to make sure that you understand it, that you can do it so well, even if you were, you know, sleeping. And it's the same thing that I try to bring that onto, you know, my work outside of football, you know, listening to my calls. If I make a call of a client and I think it was a great call, I save it for later on to listen to it, you know, to see, okay, how did I phrase that sentence? How did I listen to what the client said, repeat that to them so they understand that I've listened and understood what they're saying, and then provide them the answer based on what they've relayed to me. So there's little things, that's what I do in terms of listening to my calls. But again, reflecting back on the football perspective or sports perspective, you know, playing in the position I play in, I play up front, and there's little things that they expect from a player of my stature, like, because I'm a big striker, you know, your first touch has to be on point, your positional play on the pitch has to be great, things like winning your headers, you have to win it. So those are the things you have in your mind as like, these are the minimum requirement to me to just earn the right to be on the pitch. And I try to take that across as well to, you know, working in sales. Minimum requirements is sending out the emails to your clients, making sure you follow up with calls just to chase up, make sure. And also when you send out the emails, it's a scenario of, let's say, for example, you message me today at 12 o'clock. Inside me, in my mind, in my head, I know I have to reply to you within 10, 15 minutes, just because that way you get the response you want. And the thing I've learned working in sales is time kills deals. The longer you take to respond to a client, the easier it is for them to speak to someone else or look elsewhere to get a response quicker. Because the reason why they're reaching out to you is because they want an answer, and they want an answer now. So again, those little things. So, you know, the process of improvement, I know I kind of mentioned loads of different examples, but the short answer is you have to constantly be thinking about ways in which you can refine your skills. Highlight the bits that you're good at, do it excellently, perfectly every time, but start picking out little points that you're not so great at and look at someone else who's great at it and see what they're doing really well and try to pick up on that and try to apply that. And it's just a constant, you have to be on all the time. Constantly improving, constantly looking for ways to improve, and constantly practicing what you're good at so you'd be excellent at it.
Yeah, I mean, Denny, you're such a great fit for our team. Like, what's what we call relentless improvement at Procurement Express, one of our five values. We did an interview with Christian, our EOS coach. So check that out if you want to find more about what EOS, what it means to us. But we have five values. We've already hit two of them. We're only 10 minutes into this. That comes up naturally for you. So no wonder you're getting on so well here, you know? Okay, so that what you said there, you know, I mean, the great thing about being on a pitch, when I think of that, is like the competition is right in front of you and failure will be very obvious. If you're not improving, if you're not at the practice, if you're not working on your skills, when you show up on match day, it's really obvious. Whereas sometimes in our business, certainly our competitors are over there in, you know, Toronto and Boston and the UK and so on. We don't see them, but they are there and they're bearing down on us in the exact same way. It's just that the urgency isn't there. So how do you deal? What have you learned about dealing with competition, like in general, and how do you apply that to business?
Yeah, well, dealing with competition in general is something that you look forward to because it's an opportunity for you to show how good you are. That's the best way to look at it. Because otherwise, if you look at it another way, it will probably just make you feel bad and make you not do what you're good at. You know, so the way I've tried to look at it is, competition is a way for you to prove to yourself that you are good enough, that you do deserve the opportunity you have. If anything, maybe you deserve better opportunities. And how can you do it? By proving it on the pitch. And a similar situation with the sales team as well. You know, I appreciate all the praise that I get, but it's not just me who's working towards that target. I have a great team who support me towards it. And I feel like my competition is with myself to make sure that I deliver for my team, so they know that all the work that they're putting in to get me the right leads, connect me with the right people for demonstration, I prove to them that I deserve the effort by, you know, closing the deals for them and making sure I keep them informed, keeping them up to date with what's happening. So everyone's, you know. So when I look at dealing with competition on the pitch, I look at it from the perspective of, okay, why did you want to play football in the first place? It's because you want to show everyone that you're good. And the competition is the only way you can show everyone you're good. Because if you don't have the competition, then where's the test? Where's the opportunity for you to show you? You know? Because everyone can do it off the pitch. People off the pitch play five-a-side and they do unbelievable things. But when you bring them onto the bigger 11-a-side pitch with the fans there screaming your name, shouting abuse at you, it's a little bit different, you know? It's a little bit more difficult. So it's, again, dealing with the competition, I think the easiest point to look at, way to look at it, is just the mindset. Competition is a great thing. It's an opportunity for you to get a reward for all the hard work you've put in weeks and months and days before. You know, the competition is there for you to prove that hard work, you did it perfectly, and you can show that, yeah, you are good enough. So that's why I look at it. Competition is good. And sometimes it makes me nervous, but it's really good.
It's good. I love your confidence, Benny, because you're a very extremely charismatic guy, but you never in a self-deprecating way, and you've always had supreme self-confidence. And sometimes when you hear that, you think people's, it's just a great thing to have. You have a way of, you're not doing anyone else down, but you just know you want to show people you're the best. So that's the, I love that. I'm going to learn from that myself. But then what happens when the best get beaten? Like, how about failure? How do you handle that? Because you're right, why not have that attitude? But then, listen, reality gets a vote sometimes. So what do you do then?
To be honest with you, it's difficult to take sometimes because you think, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? But you have to look at it from the perspective of the reason why did you get beat? What are the things that your competition did better than you? You know? And yeah, sometimes, like, you don't say this, but sometimes you go away and you sit down quiet, you don't talk to anyone for a few hours because you're so annoyed with yourself, because you're like, I could have done that better. But then I know myself, the next thing I think of is, okay, cool, I messed up, so I have to go train. I have to go train and get it right straight away. And sometimes you think, oh, I need to go train tomorrow, but you can't because your legs are tired, right? But then you can't just go and start running or go and start going to the gym. You have to think about the opportunities you had in the pitch that you messed up with. So, like, for example, a great one was on Tuesday. We played the same team that we played on Saturday that we beat 3-1, but we got beat 4-1. And I was really, 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 really upset about it because I was just thinking, what could I have done better? And, like, just self-reflecting and just speaking freely, what I've looked at I could have done better is, rather than we just flicking the ball on to no one to run through, go get the ball, hold on to it, and bring other people into the game by passing the ball on the ground rather than playing in behind, because our pitch is quite big and we have quick wingers and supporting players. So if you play the ball in behind, they can run onto it and get strikes at goal. But this team understood that. So what they did was they put two players on me. So one's in front, one behind. So even though I win the ball, they did drop off. So the ball's dropped. I'm winning the ball, flicking it backwards to people who are ready to just clear the lines. So that's why I said, okay, instead of me going out and running and saying I need to win the ball, flick it higher, focus on the other side of the game. Go attack the ball, keep it because you're big, you got a good frame, play the ball on the floor and build up play like that up the final third. So that's my reflection, and that's what I needed to do to improve my performance in that game. So that's what I mean by you reflect on it. Of course, you're upset, but you add that, let that fuel your training for the next session, the next opportunity to play. And it's the same thing with deals. Again, so I said what I said about Tuesday. Yesterday was Wednesday. I'm looking forward to closing a couple of big deals. And all three of them said no. And not because the software wasn't good, but because there's certain integration that they wanted to do in-house that we at this stage could only do it via custom integration. So that's why they said no. So of course I'm upset, because I'm like, I've been speaking to you for 3 months and we had everything, we built a great rapport. I can call you, you know me straight away, you talk to me freely. So I'm a bit upset about this. But I understood why they wanted this, and I understood that maybe further down the line we could work with them. And although I'm upset, but it just gives me the motivation to say, okay, cool, we've lost those three deals, so I have to do more outbound calls to make sure I get something new to replace at least a percentage of that sale. And in doing so, like yesterday, for example, there was a potential now to upgrade a client. And I would not have done that if I had not made additional outbound calls, even to individuals that were closed already. So you see, it's, you let defeat empower you in the sense that let it fuel your desire to be better. And as it fuels your desire to be better, be smart enough to work hard the right way, so you actually improve yourself for the next time, not just working on things that maybe they'll make you better, but it's not the solution that you require right now. That makes sense.
It makes total sense. I mean, it's this weird, it's like macro and then micro all of at once, right? So macro, I've lost a deal, I've got beaten, someone was better than me, whatever. But then what matters is what you do with your butt in the next sense, in the next second. Like it's actually, we're just a collection of habits or little movements, and it's like, in soccer, it's like getting into a possession, better position on the pitch, or, you know, thinking about your, like, what, how you're actually moving. And same thing, we're all human, right? So you something doesn't work out in business, you could sit in a chair all day long and get depressed about it. That's not, obviously, we all know that's logically not helping you, unless there's a perception out there that's okay to do or whatever, or give yourself a break. But actually, what makes you feel better is getting up and saying, okay, cool, I've got a scar here, I'm going to use it, you know, I'm going to get a bit better, which I love. So this brings us on to like our second last question for you here. We have another value, since we're going over our values, seems to be a values podcast, so we might as well use it, which is don't let anybody fail in Pyramid Express. So fair enough, you know, I mess up individually, I could do something about that. What happens when someone on the team isn't performing to their potential? How do you handle that on the soccer pitch?
It's like, if I was on the pitch right now and someone messed up, you let them know straight away, hey, that's not good enough, because you're better than that. You know, it's 2 points you highlighted to them. That's not good. We know that's not good. That's the first point. The second point is, the only reason why we're telling you it's not good is because we know you're good enough, or you're better than what you just showed us now. And you do it equally as loud as you would do that's not good. So they know this is the standards. We're not happy with falling short of the standards. But the reason why we're letting you know we're not happy with you falling below the standards is because we know your standards are much higher than that. So it's encouraging. And it's also like, hey, that's not good enough at the same time. That's how you do it on the pitch. That's how they've always done it with me on the pitch. And that's the way I've learned to do it. And that's the way I prefer it. Just let me know straight away. Because I'd rather know straight away that I've messed up so I can fix it straight away, then let it linger in the background, and then you'd be like, oh wait, I messed up a few weeks ago and you didn't let me know, so I could have fixed this straight away, you know. And it's the same thing with Procurement Express. Like, the team's so good, they literally don't let you, no one lets you fail. If there's something that's wrong, like, for example, I explain a feature wrong, and let's say Rich is reviewing some of the call and say, hey, Benny, that's, you explained that wrong, and this is why you explained it wrong, because of this is how it works. But it lets me know straight away, so then that way I can quickly fix it. And if it's a scenario where, okay, Rich is on a call with me, he can say that there, and then I can actually allow him to explain, or maybe he reviews the call, and I can call back the client and say, hey, you know, I actually explained that a bit wrong, because it's supposed to work this way, this way, this way. I'm sorry, I got it wrong, but I got it right now, so I hope that makes sense. You know, people love when you're real, and people love when you're honest and straight to the point, and you accept when you're wrong, because you want to improve, and you can explain to them that you understand that. Everyone accepts that. And that's what I love about sport, and that's what I love about working with Procurement Express, because what I've learned with sport is highlight it straight away, but encourage the individual to improve on it straight away, so they can see what they've done wrong, but they can also recognize internally, we think you're brilliant. And we think you're brilliant because we've seen you train and do this and do that so many times. So show us that. That's what we want to see. So that's what you do out loud. And similarly with Procurement Express, that's how it is. And even if you have to do a little bit extra, like work a bit harder to support your team, just do a little bit of extra call here. Just, it doesn't take anything away from you. If anything, it builds a stronger bond with you and your team, and it helps you to achieve the overall target. So that's the little things that we do.
Now, this is the fascinating thing about your approach here, which really struck me, which was the classical standard advice in a business environment is you praise in public and you criticize in private. But on the pitch, there's no, A, tell me about that. Like there's no real time to be private about it, I'm guessing. So
yeah, you can't. You don't have, if someone does something wrong, you don't let them know straight away. They obviously, each footballer, they think, no, I made a mistake. But you highlighting it to them, it's a bit like it's like a push in the right direction. So someone's falling, but they're gonna fall on a bit of rubbish, and you push them away from that rubbish, but it's a push at the same time, if that makes sense. So you let them go straight away because we want that to improve straight away. Because if it carries on like that for two more minutes, we're going to concede a goal, and then you've got a mountain to climb up. So you let them know straight away and it doesn't happen again. And the intensity at which you tell them helps them to know the intensity at which they have to fix that.
Right. Like myself,
if there's a ball in the air and I miss that ball because I'm so tall and I'm mute, I will get told straight away.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone can hear it.
Yeah, any chance, Benny? Any chance? No, and you know straight away. Yeah.
Well, to have that environment, you need a really strong team ethos, right? Everyone needs to know that this is being given for your benefit, and it's because you all want to get better. That's the key thing. And I think sometimes it's a fine line because it might be easy to tell yourself you have a stronger team than you think you have, and you could easily go over that line into bullying or into a negative, some sort of negative feedback. But if you have a team that's strong enough, everyone knows, and it's really a value of yours, then you're able to just be upfront, and then everyone knows, and it's okay. Yeah, we got a little bit better there.
Yeah,
I thought that was fascinating. So this brings me to my last point, our last question. Really, we talked about failure. Like, what have you learned about how to celebrate, how to succeed, how to celebrate?
I think something one of the older players used to say is never get too high with the highs and never get too low with the lows. Because football, it's very easy to say, oh, you're the best. Everyone say you're the best when you score the goals. As soon as you miss two or three chances, they'll let you know how bad you are at the same time. Like, and the perfect example is this week. So like I said to you on Saturday, we won. I scored two goals. I was like, man of the match. And then on Tuesday, same team, we lost. I didn't score a goal. I was involved in the assist, but it's not a goal. And they let you know how bad, like, why do we have you? You didn't score. You know, they let you know straight away, you know? So what I try to do is just be as steady as I can be, try to always find positives or moments to be happy with the little things. Like, in a game, I'm happy with a nice pass. I'm happy with winning my headers. I'm happy when I work really hard and win the ball back. I'm really, really happy when I score. I'm even more happy when I score two goals or three goals. So, and then I'm not happy when we concede. So then what I do is, okay, well, how can I support my team to make sure we don't concede? Okay, I can work harder by pressing from the front. So you try to celebrate the little things, but also try to recognize the bad things so that you can quickly fix it and have more of the good times. So that's how I see it. So I'm always happy because there's always something to be happy about. You choose to be happy, you know? And the same with Procurement Express. There's loads of things to be happy about. When you have a good conversation with a client, or when you reach out to a client that's not responded to you in a long time and they actually respond to you, that's really good. When, for example, Gina from the team sets up a really nice demo, she gives you detail about it, it's exciting, so you're happy, looking forward to it. But then again, the moments where, like yesterday, where you expect a really, really nice big client going to close, everything's looking good, and they say, oh, sorry, we're not going to go with this because we put this project on pause. It gets you upset, but you learn to move quickly because you want to be happy all the time. You want to pick up on the good points, which is you build a strong rapport. They're happy to give you referrals. They're happy to speak to the book of business about how well you are and how good the system is. So you choose to be happy. And the way I celebrate is by choosing to be happy and trying to stay as happy as I can for as long as I can by focusing on the positives. And when there is bad times, quickly fixing it, if possible, and getting back to the good times.
You're a machine, Benny. You're very stoic, I have to say. You're good. You're like very analytical about it. And it's what makes it great to have you on the team. Like I've said this before, but I'll say it in public here, which is that, you know, what a difference it makes. Like there's obviously the engineers, there's success, there's everyone behind you when you're presenting our software. And our strategy, you know, is you literally make the customer say, wow, when they see the product for the first time. And it's, a lift for the whole team to see us, for us to see you presenting the software so well and making a difference to customers. You know, it's great. And I think it's, you've been a real leader for us in that way, in that you've, through the entire company now, we know, okay, listen, we build a product, we'll do the work and put it in, knock it up the field to Benny, and he's going to make it look, make us all look great. So it's been brilliant to have you on the team. I look forward to many years to come to keep doing it. So, okay, Benny. So, you know, I'm going to ask you how people can get in touch. I would recommend if you sign up for a trial for Procurement Expense, there is a chance you can get some Benny goodness all to yourself and you experience the greatness. So if you're interested in controlling your costs, taking the hassle out of the time and effort it takes to manage purchasing at your company and see a little bit of magic, recommend you sign up. And if it's a good fit, will you get some time with Benny yourself? How else can people get in touch with you, Benny?
Yeah, no, that's a great way. If you go onto our website and just click on book a demo, you could literally just set up a meeting with myself. My calendar's available there. But if you want to, you could just reach out to me directly via email. So it's my first name, which is Benny, B-E-N-N-Y. There's a full stop in the middle. And my second name, which is I-G-I-E-H-O-N. At procurementexpress.com. If you don't know how to spell my name, just type in Benny on Google, type in football Northern Ireland, and you'll be able to see maybe one or two pictures, and it should say my name there as well. So really would be great to speak to you guys. Yeah.
How many people can say that? I love it. Thanks, Benny. So before I sign off, I just want to recommend, you've heard it from, you know, our internal side. I just recorded yesterday a great podcast with Alex English, who's a customer of ours from Ion Battery Systems. And he gives you the view from the other side, what it's like to deal with Benny. He would have dealt with Benny. I think Benny would have brought him on board, et cetera. And so you get to hear what it's like, what the experience is like to install the software, bring it on board. He has some complimentary things to say, as well as some advice for you if you're someone who is coming from a corporate background and you're moving into a startup in a supply chain. So I recommend checking that out. Okay, thanks, Benny. And thanks to everyone for listening. And until the next time, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that wraps it up for another episode of the Gross Profit Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts.